One of my favorite songs is an offbeat kind of song, something you don't really hear out there very much. It's a song called As It Seems. And there are some beautiful lines in the song, and among them are these. Well, I knew what I didn't want to know, and I saw where I didn't want to go. So I took the path less traveled on, and let my stories be whispered when I'm gone. I just find those words very haunting. I wonder, they seem to be about regret, about mortality, about fear of responsibility for something, about possibly impending loss. And when I read them and think about them, I think they could really apply to Jesus, especially in our gospel story today, where he was beginning to see his earthly destiny unfolding into something that the human part of him must have wanted desperately to avoid, his own suffering and death. He knew what he didn't want to know, and he saw where he didn't want to go. The end of his earthly ministry would mean, at least to his human eyes, that he had not truly reached the world after all, because the world was determined to kill him. We have the story today of Mary's anointing of Jesus. Again, it reminded him of what he didn't want to know, of his mortality, and that the power structure of this earth could not let him live. He may not have known exactly, but he saw himself going where he didn't want to go, to his own death at Golgotha. This story in the gospel is about anointing each other for death, but we can also see it as a way that we believers come together and encourage each other to see hope even in the darkest times. It is a story that helps us remember that we are here for each other, that we can realize that when mortality and loss affect us directly, God promises us something beyond this place and this human experience. We have the stories of Jesus whispered when he's gone to comfort us. And what do those whispers mean to us? Jesus' followers who desperately want to imitate him faithfully, but who cannot see how to do it in this fallen world. I believe that God uses us to help each other, other believers, to take us where we don't want to go and to go with us to places like an awareness of our mortality, but also an awareness of grace and the resulting need to forgive self and other. We have to have other people to help us go there. And so we come here, as Mary did in the gospel reading, not only to anoint each other for death, but to remind each other of the power and life of grace. To remind each other that grace is not a transaction, but a gift intended for all human beings. That knowledge of grace means that we don't focus on loss, that we rise above loss and support each other. We remind each other that God is with us, so that when the darkness comes calling, we go to God and not to the lower reaches of human competition and judgmentalism and fear. Coming together in this church is one version of Mary's anointing. It helps us remember that we are made in God's image. As such, we are made to forgive as we have been forgiven. Human nature, I think, is really an urge to push back against the idea of grace, the idea of grace and its resulting forgiveness. Human nature and our society have formed us to have a need to win and a fear of scarcity. And those fears and misconceptions make us not want to know that even the worst among us might have as much access to grace as we do. Walter Brueggemann, one of the authors I've talked about in my teaching, says that we have become accustomed to a narrative of scarcity. I'd better get all I can or I might not have enough. But if I get more in an economic sense, others get less. The problem is that that's not just a danger in terms of our economic system and having us marginalize and exclude people, but then what happens if we carry that idea of scarcity in the free market narrative over into the idea of grace? What if we begin to think in terms of grace that if another person gets more, I get less? But grace can enter our lives and free us if we will let it. It can show us what we didn't want to know and make us go where we didn't want to go, to that place of forgiveness even for the worst of sins. I guess this past week I have seen several places I really didn't want to go. I had a birthday, which used to be more fun. I begin to just think about my age and my mortality and my place of relying on other people. I need grace to embrace those ideas so that I can live without fear, that I can embrace my mortality and my vulnerability and my dependence on God and other people. Because after all, especially in this place, I have the gift of other believers to help me know what I don't want to know and to help me go where I do not want to go. This path less traveled on for us is the absolute freedom to embrace God's grace, not only for me, but for all persons. Many of you have commented on the blessing that I've been using recently. Life is short, and we don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those with whom we journey along the way. So be swift to love, swifter still to forgive. Make haste to be kind. This is what God gives us to one another for. To be swift to love, swifter still to forgive, to be kind to one another, and to teach each other about grace, that it is limitless, and that if we get the grace of God, that doesn't mean someone else has to get less. You may be familiar with, elsewhere in the Gospels, with the parable of the vineyard, a story in which some men came early in the day and worked all day, and other men came later in the day, and when the day ended, they were all paid the same amount. In their story, though, there is no indication that anybody got less because someone else got more or got the same amount. There was not a narrative of scarcity. If we apply the market mentality to grace, we will constantly be in competition with people and feel the need to judge them. In grace, giving them something doesn't mean giving us less. We don't get the concept of grace because we are so well trained in this society of supply and demand. As I've told you in one of the sessions, I have some quotations that I collected when I was a teenager. And I remember that one of them said something like this: remember that if you get something for nothing, someone else is getting nothing for something. It seems very true, and it is in most cases, but it's not true in terms of grace. So we have this story about Mary taking a precious resource and anointing Jesus and being with Jesus and helping Jesus prepare for his own death. It's important, I think, not to see that we identify either with Mary in the story or with Judas. This isn't a story of Mary versus Judas, but Mary and Judas, because the grace of Jesus Christ includes them both. The stories whispered to us of Jesus push us to realize that all are included in the narrative of grace if they choose to be. And these stories push us because we're uncomfortable or even angry if grace applies to them. Can we ever reconcile ourselves to the idea that even the worst human beings at least have access to God's grace? The story of God and God's people lived every day takes me places I don't want to go. One place I don't want to go has been very present in my life in the last week, and that is the idea of God's forgiveness for a person like Raphael McLeod. I don't know if you know about him, but he was a man who in Vicksburg had kidnapped and killed a woman who was just a sweet soul. And then as he was awaiting trial, he escaped and made the whole city of Vicksburg terrified. He invaded another home while he was on the run, held another family hostage until they escaped and killed him. They survived, but they live with the memory and the knowledge that they have killed another human being. What I don't want to know is that an evil person like him is God's beloved like me. I don't want to know that this anointing we do of one another is not just about Mary, but about Judas. Not just about me, but about Raphael McLeod. So we'll come here, and sometimes we will hear stories of Jesus that will comfort us, but sometimes they will challenge us because we don't understand grace. We think if we get more, someone else must get less. So I hear these words in the song. Well, I knew what I didn't want to know, and I saw where I didn't want to go, but I let my stories be whispered when I'm gone. Stories of grace and forgiveness. Stories of being anointed by God and expected to go to those hard yet redemptive places with Jesus. What do the whispers say to us now? Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Yes, even him. Because life is short. And we don't have long to gladden the hearts of those with whom we travel along the way. The whispers say, be swift to love, swifter still to forgive, and make haste to be kind. In other words, let us whisper Jesus' stories even when he is physically gone. And let's pray together that God will help us to have the courage to go where we didn't want to go. Amen.